Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, D-Chin Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again. We are on to week 14. Matty D is back from King of the Beach. Looks like he's got a nice suntan going. I'm out there.
It actually wasn't even sunny. It rained the day we got there and the day we left, which is not very like San Diego, but it was fun.
Well, that's all that counts. At least a good time. Good experience. So we are on to week 14, and this week is much different than last week's slate, which really, I mean, looked fantastic, but didn't really quite pan out the way that we all kind of hoped it would. But this week is a little bit different with some of the totals here. I mean, up top, you really have the Lions and the Vikings game that has a 51.5 point total, and there's the next closest game is really far down. I mean, you have to get to, I think it's the Bengals and Browns game that's 46.5 is the next closest total, which is weird when you have a slate with the Chiefs on it, but they are playing against the Broncos, putrid defense. Then you have the divisional game of the Bills and the Jets, which only has a 43-point total. Then you have the Eagles on this slate as well, but they're playing the Giants, and that's a 44.5 total. So, you know, this slate just doesn't quite add up to what you were hoping it to be, but I think that's also maybe a spot just to get a little bit different, right? Because everybody is going to this Vikings and Lions game. And if this game doesn't shoot out, this is the second game of a divisional game where we see a lot of crazy things happen, where maybe it doesn't play out as way as people think that it will. So I do think there's some spots here that maybe we could attack some of these other games. So let's just get into it. Start at the quarterback position. We have Josh Allen, who's 8,300. Jalen Hurts, who's 8,100. Patrick Mahomes, who is 8K. And then you have Lamar Jackson, who I don't think plays, but he is at 7,400. Joe Burrow, who's 7K. Dak Prescott, 6,500. Deshaun Watson, 64. Geno Smith, the 62. Kirk Cousins, 61. And then from there, you have the 5K and below. I guess I will mention Jared Goff because he's going to be pretty chalky as well at 5,600. So, Maddie, are you going to eat the chalk and go all in on this Lions and Vikings game, or is there some other spots you want to attack?
I think it's definitely a game that is not going to disappoint completely. So I think fading that game completely is irresponsible on this slate because like you said, there's only one other game that's above a 45 total, and that's the Browns and Bengals. So just from an overall slate perspective, I just don't see a way that the Vikings and the Lions, you know, play a 13-10 type of game here. Like, I think there's going to be points scored, and granted, it may not be the ceiling, you know, that the field would be playing it for from an ownership perspective. But I just think there's going to be enough points scored where you have to have pieces from that game. So I wouldn't fade it completely, even if you're, you know, you want to attack other games from a game stack perspective. I definitely would be cognizant of getting exposure to that game. But yeah, it's definitely on paper the best game to stack this weekend. And I mean, both quarterbacks are cheap. I mean, Cousins is only 6,100, and we haven't seen a ceiling game out of Cousins yet, but he's been pretty close to having ceiling games. You know, he's missed the bonus a few times. He's only thrown a couple touchdowns in a few games, and you know, maybe it only takes one game where if he can put it all together. I mean, he does have 30-point upside, I think. So it'll be interesting to see where his ownership comes in. If he's one of the higher owned quarterbacks on the slate, then, you know, that's a good spot where you can pivot to somebody like Dalvin Cook and get leverage that way. But if Goff is going to be the chalky quarterback after his big game last week, then Cousins would be the guy that I would be looking to play. But if Goff's going to go overlooked, and you know, I listened to you guys talk on the pod last week, and you guys pretty much took the words out of my mouth, is Goff Goff plays so good at home, and the Lions just score a ton of points at home, and the Lions games in general just score a ton of points at home. So it's really hard not to like the Lions pieces here. They finally priced up Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's up at 7,800, so it's not as easy to fit him in. But I mean, you can still play Goff with Amon-Ra and Swift, who's less than 6K, and Goff is under 6K, and Amon-Ra is under 8K. And I mean, I could argue Amon-Ra has a similar ceiling to Justin Jefferson. He's $1,200 less. So, it's really hard not to like the Lions here. And Minnesota has been a very big pass funnel as well. They've been solid against the run, and they're absolutely abysmal against defending the wide receivers, which is how Lions attack. And I mean, even DJ Chark, you know, we saw him last week, couple deep shots down the field to Chark. And I think Minnesota is the worst defense to opposing outside wide receivers. So that's big for Chark. I guess the only potential thing for Chark would be how much run Jameson Williams starts to see as he gets his legs under him. But I think, you know, just having his second game back, I don't think he takes a ton away from him. So it's definitely easy to stack up the Lions. Definitely easier than it is to stack up the Vikings. But the Vikings have some cheap pieces too, like Thielen's 4,900, Hawkinson's 52. I know Justin Jefferson's up at 9K, but I mean, Cousins at 61, you know, it's definitely an affordable game stack, and I think that's why it's going to be so popular. So because of how cheap it is, even if you're not stacking it, I think definitely getting exposure to it makes sense. But if you're not playing that game, Joe Burrow at 7K is probably the highest price that I would go. And yes, you can run all over Cleveland, but if that game were to turn into a shootout, which is the second highest total game of the week, I would definitely want Jamar Chase. I would definitely want Joe Burrow and to stack up that Bengals side and run it back with a Cleveland piece going the other way. But my one concern there is Deshaun Watson looked really bad last week. And I mean, we've talked about it, I think, before, but even in preseason, he was 1-for-7 in his one preseason game that he played. He looked really bad in the preseason as well. So not playing football in 700 days, I just don't know if we're going to get, you know, the return to normal Deshaun Watson that we have here. And he's got, you know, all the extra, you know, things that are being focused on outside of just playing football that he hadn't had in the past. And there's just a lot going on with him. And the Bengals defense has actually looked pretty solid this year. I know they haven't played a ton of really good quarterbacks, but I mean, even Mahomes last week, you know, he wasn't able to just do whatever he wanted like he normally can. So, yeah, I'm hesitant about that game shooting out more so than Minnesota and the Lions. Outside of those two games, a game that's interesting to me that's two pass funnels, but I just don't know how it shoots out because, I mean, Tennessee's going to want to run the ball over and over again. But Tennessee and Jacksonville, that's two defenses who have been pretty good against the run and have been really, really bad against the pass. We saw Jalen Hurts, you know, go to the air completely last week because of that. We saw, you know, Jared Goff just shredded the Jags, and the Jags have been giving up a ton of production through the air. The question is, what are the pieces you play from those pass games, right? Like, if Trevor Lawrence sits, you can make a case for playing C.J. Beathard, who's under 5K. He's 4,800. Because he would be very easy to stack up with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones or Evan Ingram and get exposure to the Jags that way against the Tennessee. And the question is, if Treylon Burks is out with a concussion, who would you run it back with on the other side? I guess it could be Okonkwo from the tight end position. He makes some sense. So there's definitely interest there. I mean, both Tannehill and Bethard or even Lawrence, they're all cheap QBs and they're in very good, you know, facing very bad pass defenses, so they're in very good matchups. I don't think either team's going to be able to just run the ball, but it just feels gross wanting to stack up that game. So I'm curious to hear where you're at. Those are the three games that have, you know, kind of stood out to me, but it's not necessarily one outside of the obvious spot of Minnesota and the Lions. I don't think there's one that really jumps off the page. It's just kind of these spots could hit, but it's, you know, you're taking shots.
I think whatever, I mean, listen, I mean, the Lions game and the Vikings game and everything you said is absolutely true. It's a cheaper stack to get to outside of Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's a lot of different pieces in that game you could get to. It is still a decently consolidated in terms of game, right? So there's a lot of different things. You know, the last time these two teams played, the Lions pretty much took away Justin Jefferson in that game. They pretty much bracketed coverage in the whole game and said, you're not going to beat us, Justin Jefferson. I'm not going to expect that the same exact thing to play out this time. But I do think that game does make a lot of sense. You want to get a lot of pieces to that game. But I think in terms of just getting the stacks, I think there are some other intriguing ones. Like, one, I really like this Philadelphia side, right? It's become so easy to stack this team because we know where all the targets are going to. You have Jalen Hurts, obviously, and then A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Since Dallas Goedert's been out, it's been extremely consolidated. They don't throw the tight ends. They don't even throw to the running backs that much. And so, really, it's so easy to stack them. Now, they are expensive. I mean, Jalen Hurts is $8,100. Then you have, you know, A.J. Brown, who is $8,000, and then Devonta Smith is too far off at $6,300. And so, but you can, if you want, I mean, you could stack all three of those guys. We've seen it before. We saw it last week. A.J. Brown went off, but Devonta Smith wasn't far behind him either. He was also a great play. And so they just, each of them see a ton of targets. You have to go back to, I mean, really, if you look at Devonta Smith, he has seen 8, 9, 9, and 8 targets over his past four games. And then A.J. Brown, very similar, 10, 6, 7, 4. And then one of those games when he was banged up and he was dealing with an injury, and then 6. So, both these guys can absolutely smash. And so I like that stack of Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I think it's a little bit different. And you don't necessarily need the Giants to bring it back. We saw it last week in, you know, against the Titans, where they just kind of crushed them and they threw the ball the whole time. They were smart. Now, in this slate, this matchup, I think they can do both. If they want to run the ball, I think they can run the ball. The Giants are 28th in rush DVOA, but they are also 25th in pass DVOA over their last four games. So you could pretty much do whatever you want against that Giants defense. So I do like getting there. And then another, I think, really sneaky spot is going with Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you look at it on the season, the Broncos are 5th in pass DVOA. However, over the last four games, they are 29th in pass DVOA over the last four games. They have really fallen off in the passing game department. We know this Chiefs offense can put up points at will on anybody. And it sounds like they could be getting some pieces back. It's possible Kadarius Toney could return from this game. He's been getting in some limited practices. Mecole Hardman won't be back, but they'll still have Juju left, Travis Kelce. And I just don't think there's anybody that's really going to play this Chiefs offense. And I think people are going to perceive this game as kind of gross and not really wanting to play it. And so I do think Patrick Mahomes at $8,000 and going, if whether you want to stack him with, you know, Travis Kelce or like a Juju, or I think there's plenty of options here in this offense that you can stack with, and nobody's going to play this game. And when I can get Patrick Mahomes at such low ownership right now, he's coming in, you know, roughly, I think, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th highest owned quarterback on the slate right now. What I'm looking at. So, you know, I think that is a spot we can get different. Yes, it's an expensive stack, but I think what you can do with that Lions game is you could take a mini stack and go DeAndre Swift and Adam Thielen, right? Or you could go Hockenson there and just kind of mini stack it, not full on game stack it, and attack some of these other games. And, you know, the Chiefs can drop 40 points. And we're talking about a Broncos team that is as dysfunctional as possibly could be right now. So really, I do like, I think going there, I think that is a stack that I think we can definitely get to if you're wanting to do that. And then, you know, maybe Tyler Huntley is also, I think, a spot. You know, he was a guy last year. I remember having a lot of interest in him last year because, you know, he is similar and brings some of the similar things that Lamar Jackson does to the table. His ability to run the football. I mean, I think every game he started last year, he had 40 or more rushing yards in every single game. They're going to do similar things with him. They're playing Pittsburgh. It's not really a defense I'm overly concerned with. They can get after the quarterback, but it's not a defense that I'm shying away from or thinking that you just can't play anybody against them. So if you want, and we know how much he loves Mark Andrews, we saw the same thing last year. Some of his best games last year, Mark Andrews came with Tyler Huntley. And so I think if you want to kind of go with a little stack here of that, and then you could possibly run that back with like a George Pickens or something like that. And again, another stack that I think you kind of look at here that is a cheaper stack. He's only $5,500. And I think his ceiling is much higher than that. I mean, he's a player that could get 70, 80 rushing yards in this game. And so I do like Tyler Huntley, I think a fair amount as well as another place we could go to if you're wanting to kind of avoid that other game. And then, you know, past that, you know, I do think Dak is in play at $6,500 against Houston. We know it's Houston's terrible. And we know this team can absolutely slay the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans are missing a lot of their pieces. The only thing that would worry me in that game would be the Cowboys just saying, no, we're just going to run Zeke. We're going to run Pollard. And we're just not even going to worry about, you know, really opening up this offense too much. Because if they're without Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks, like, who the hell are they throwing the ball to? Jordan Akins and... You know, you're not worried about anybody, you know, on that team that doing anything. Poor Damian Pierce, you know, it's the last man standing there in that offense. So I think if you're wanting to get different, I think that is kind of the avenues that I.
Yeah, I'll also throw in too, one guy neither of us mentioned. If Kenneth Walker were to miss, I think Geno Smith becomes very interesting because the Seahawks just pretty much took to the air the whole game after Kenneth Walker left. The game last week, and Geno crushed, DK Metcalf crushed, Tyler Lockett crushed. I think they both got over the 100-yard bonus. I'm pretty sure both receivers did last week. So that becomes a very, very, very concentrated offense. And I think, you know, if Kenneth Walker were to be out, the field's going to go to Travis Homer, who was the only guy that practiced today, because DJ Dallas is still not practicing either from an injury that he sustained in that game too. So, you know, I think everybody would load up the running back. And I just think that, you know, Seattle could look to just throw the ball with the guy that's, you know, been winning them games this year, and that's Geno Smith. So I think Seattle and talk about concentrated offenses, right? It is DK Metcalf and it is Tyler Lockett that run that entire offense. So I think that one is very interesting if Kenneth Walker were to be out.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for at least for DFS purposes, that's kind of what we're looking for, right? You want a more predictable, you know, stack to go to, right? So you don't have to worry about the random one-offs that could possibly happen to you. So yeah, I mean, I think there's some validity with that. And I 100% think Kenneth Walker is not playing. That's not happening. He's not,
on the flip side of that game too, like Carolina should be able to run the ball as much as they want against Seattle. And Carolina wants to run the ball. So I could see that game turning into a bit of a shootout. Because Carolina wants to play on the ground. They can do that against Seattle. Seattle's very, very bad against the run. And then, you know, on the flip side, if Walker's out, I mean, Seattle will have to throw. They don't have a choice.
Yeah. And then I guess last, I don't know, we really didn't talk about it, but do you have any interest in Josh Allen against the Jets? I mean, he's $8,300, but it is Josh Allen. He's the player that, you know, on the slate, he's right there with Mahomes and Jalen Hurts of guys who can just go nuclear. Have any interest in that?
That game just feels like it's going to be low scoring to me. The Bills defense looked really good last week against New England. And I know it's New England, right? But they're starting to get healthy pieces back. The defense is starting to turn into more of what it was last year, where it was the number one pass defense in the NFL. I think Garrett Wilson's going to be popular from that game. That game just feels like it just feels like more of a 20 to 10 or 20 to 13 type game for me. And I'm not paying $8,000 for a spot where I don't think the QB can hit a ceiling. Now, granted, he did run for, I'm pretty sure Allen ran for like 80 yards against the Jets earlier this year once already against the same defense. So that is where his ceiling will come from. But I mean, I think you also need him to throw for close to 300 yards and three scores for him to be worth paying $8,000 for. It just feels like a slate where I'm going to pay down a quarterback, most likely. I think there's some solid options down there, and none of these high-priced quarterbacks are in absolute, like, ceiling spots. Like, yes, they can do well, but it's like, I think doing well for them is like 275 and three. But at $8,000, I just don't think that's going to get me there. I think I can get a cheaper QB that can match that.
Yeah, I mean, even like Tom Brady's $5,600, and just like, man, like, It feels so incredibly cheap, but
yeah.
They are playing the 49ers. You know, I'm not willing to tempt that. I mean, the 49ers defense has been.
Is Wirfs really still going to be out this week?
Yeah, he's out.
For yeah, like no, weeks. No, thanks. Yeah. I saw what they did to Tua last week without his offensive line.
Yeah, and so that's just what makes it tough to even think about to getting to that spot, though.
Speaking of Brady, it's funny. You know how they were down 16-3, and then Brady came back and won the game? Well, the Rams were down 16-3. Now it's 16-10. They're getting the ball back. What if they had the same exact scenario from Monday night happen again on Thursday? That would be nuts. Sorry, we can jump the running backs. That's all I have for QB.
There is one other one that I did want to hit on, or I guess two that I at least want to ask you about. One is Ryan Tannehill. He's 5,200 against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's pass defense has not been very good this year. Is he a spot at $5,200? I know they really want to run the ball, and that's really what they want to do. But is that any? Do you have any interest in going somewhere like that? Because right now in the season, especially over the last 4 weeks, Jacksonville's 31st in pass DVOA, but they're 13th in rush DVOA. So they've actually been better against the run as recently. He's only $5,200. Now, again, it's kind of an issue with him is, you know, if Treylon Burks happens to miss, I don't really think I don't know if I'd want to play him because who are you going to stack him with? Like, who are you playing? Who do you get excited about, you know, stacking him with if you were going to do that? And then the other guy was Russell Wilson. I know Russell Wilson's been really bad. When you play the Chiefs, you're forced to throw the ball a ton. But they're also look likely going to be without Cortland Sutton. So now you're looking at probably Greg Dulcich and Jerry Jeudy. Do you have any interest in that, or would you rather just play like a piece from that Denver passing game versus actually playing Russell Wilson? Which is just absolutely insane that Russell Wilson is $5,100. And if we, like, he's drawing no interest from anybody.
I am not playing Russell Wilson. I will play CJ Beathard for 300 less if Trevor Lawrence were to miss before I played Russell Wilson. And I am not kidding. That's how bad he's been. He's been awful.
No doubt. I just want to bring him up.
But I definitely really do like that Jacksonville Tennessee game. And I think, I mean, it's like I said, that's probably my third game on the list this week that I could see turning into more of a back and forth just because the production has to come through the air because neither team is going to have success on the ground. I mean, the Titans are going to want to run the ball. The Jags will go to the air because that's what the defense is giving them. So I tend to lean on more of the side of play the Jags pass game if you like that game a lot. Because you know that the Jags will just throw because the Jags have been like the Eagles where they're scripting their offense based on what the defense is allowing. So I could see the Jags, you know, if Lawrence plays or whether it's Beathard, just turning to the air and not running ETN into a wall over and over and over again. And I mean, we know it's Christian Kirk. We know it's Zay Jones, or you can play Evan Engram at tight end. And then on the other side, if Treylon Burks plays, he's the obvious play. But if not, you have the cheap, I like to play tight ends in my game stack if possible. Well, there's a cheap tight end on the Titans that in Okonkwo who's seen 5 targets in back-to-back weeks. He's $2,700. You could just attach him to your game stack because, you know, if that game were to turn into a back and forth, it's likely because big plays are happening and Okonkwo is a big play machine. I mean, he's an absolute freak at the tight end position. So, and if Treylon Burks misses, I mean, that's just another piece that they're missing to catch passes. So, I think that game is very interesting. That is a game I'm probably going to mini stack, more so than go all in on it, but it's, definitely on my list.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just go ahead and move over to running back then. Cause I don't think there's any really other quarterbacks we want to play. Actually, you know, we spent a lot of time on this. Just who are your top three quarterbacks you're looking to play? Let's just do that.
I'll say whoever is lower between Goff and Cousins will be one. Then I'll say Lawrence or Beathard will be my number two, whoever starts there. And my number three would probably be, Geno Smith.
I like that. So I would go Kirk Cousins, and then I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes, and then I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. Obviously, you know, two of those feel like low-hanging fruit, but I do like both of those, and I think they're going to come in cheaper than they should, but I do agree with you. That Geno Smith, that game does look pretty tasty as well. So, anyways, okay. So let's go over to running back. We have Christian McCaffrey at 8,500, Saquon, who's 8K, Derrick Henry, 7,900, Nick Chubb, 7,800, Dalvin Cook, who's 7,300, Joe Mixon, who is back this week, 6,900, Tony Pollard is 6,700. It's just not more expensive enough. He should be cheap, more expensive than that. Travis Etienne, 64, Samaje Perine is 63, but like I said, Joe Mixon is back. Miles Sanders is 62, Zeke 61, Damian Pierce is 6K, and then Jamal Williams just under that, and DeAndre Swift are both 59 and 58. So at running back this week, Joe Mixon feels like such an easy play to get to. He's probably going to be chalky, but he's back. He's $6,900. He gets a fantastic matchup against one of the worst run defenses in the league on the season. They are 29th in rush DVOA. They are just atrocious against the run. And you get Joe Mixon here, who is back from a concussion. So, you know, I think he makes so much sense if you're wanting to pay up a little bit. And it's not even that expensive. He's $6,900. He has a massive ceiling if he can hit it. I think Tony Pollard is 100% in play right below him at $6,700. And then DeAndre Swift, we've talked about him a ton, but he looks like he might be back. I think at $5,800 are the three guys that I am looking at the most here at running back.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, Mixon and Pollard look like the two highest priced guys that I would like to play. Outside of if you wanted to put, if Dalvin's coming in unowned from that Minnesota Detroit game, I think Dalvin at $7,300 is definitely in play. I'm not sure that he buries you if you don't play him, but he's good leverage in that game. If you're stacking it up and, like, let's say you play golf on the Detroit side and you can run it back with Dalvin instead of Jefferson and make yourself unique that way. So I think Dalvin's interesting, but he's not going to be like somebody I start my build with. But yeah, Mixon and Pollard. Pollard's too cheap. I mean, we talk about Pollard, you know, even in the weeks where Zeke is out, Pollard doesn't get, you know, 25 to 30 touches. He just absolutely smashes on his 15 touches that he gets. And I think that's what he's going to do here.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but the Rams just score with 9 seconds left.
It's literally the same exact as Monday night. 16-3 and come back and win. That is absolute nuts. Absolutely nuts. But yeah, I really like Swift as well. I played him last week in the King of the Beach. I was the only person that had Swift in that tournament, and he did really well. He got 20 touches. I think he's finally back. Last week was the first week since week one that he was not on the injury report. I don't believe he's on the injury report this week. Yeah, he practiced in full today, so that's good. Yeah, $5,800 seems too cheap for a guy that's going to see six to eight targets in the highest total game of the week. So yeah, I really, really, really like Swift at $5,800. I think that's too cheap. And then if you are playing Geno Smith, like I said, Carolina should have a ton of success running the ball against Seattle. And both Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard are both really cheap and should be the main pieces of that Carolina offense. So I think both of those guys are interesting in game stacks, but that's probably where I'll leave it. I won't have interest in them as one-off pieces. I think running back's straightforward. I don't think there's a ton of other guys. I mean, I guess you could maybe sell me on Miles Sanders or Zeke just because of touchdown equity in good rushing matchups, but the volume just isn't there for those guys.
So I think if you're not wanting to play at the high price guys, one, I don't really want to play Dalvin Cook. The Lions have been really good against running backs. Like, it's now, like, and people just aren't really seeming to catch on. Like, the Lions over the past like month and a half have pretty much shut down every single running back they've played. And we're talking about like some elite running backs in here. We're not talking about just some random, you know, running backs, whatever. They shut down Saquon. Aaron Jones did nothing against them. Like, a lot of running backs have come in here and just none of them do anything against them. So I'm not all that high on Dalvin Cook. And then they're also, he's not seeing goal line opportunities. They're giving them to Alexander Mattison, which is weird once they get down there. So for me, I won't have any Dalvin Cook. I know this is a good game script and everything else, and, you know, the back and forth fair, but I just won't play it. Like, if I'm at that spot, I'll play Joe Mixon all day over him. You know, even Derrick Henry, you know, we've seen him in the past, you know, obviously absolutely annihilate the Jaguars, but this is a little bit different of a Jaguars team. But still, he's $7,900. Saquon Barkley is coming in right now, completely unowned, at the, looks like less than 5% ownership. He's $8,000. Yes, he's a little bit more expensive, obviously. But now down here, if you're getting a little bit lower, one, you brought up one of them, Miles Sanders. Absolutely love him at $6,200. Again, if you don't want to stack up, you know, with Hurts or, you know, the pass catchers, going with Miles Sanders is also a really smart play because the Giants also struggle against opposing running backs. And so I do think Miles Sanders is only $6,200. He is somebody that has he's top 10 in red zone touches on the season. He has 9 touchdowns on the year. He's averaging almost 20 touches per game. And so for him, this is a pretty good spot for him to be able to attack with him. And so he's $6,200. I really like that. I think people are going to be overlooking him in this spot. And then if you're wanting to get down here in this the 5K range, we already talked about DeAndre Swift. We don't have to say anything more. Love DeAndre Swift. I think Isaiah Pacheco is definitely in play against this Broncos defense. They are much more middle of the road in terms of running backs. And so I think Isaiah Pacheco at $5,700, he's really started to overtake this offense now recently. Over the past 4 weeks, he has 16, 15, 22, and 14. And, you know, if they do decide not to open up the offense as much, I think, you know, we saw like against the Rams a few weeks ago where he had 22 carries in that game. He's only $5,700. I do like Isaiah Pacheco quite a bit. And then I think if you want Rashad White at $5,500, I know San Francisco has been really good, but I don't think they necessarily use him as a runner. I think you see something what we see the last couple of weeks and utilize him as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He saw 8 targets last week against the Saints, another really good run defense. 8 targets in that game, 6 carries, 41 yards, and he found the end zone. So I do think Rashad White is kind of in play here at $5,500. He's just a little bit too cheap there as well. And then you brought up a running back in that game. I think you said Chuba Hubbard, but I actually really like Deonta Foreman.
Yeah, I said both of them. Because Foreman's questionable is the only reason I mentioned Chuba.
I think he plays. He's limited. Yeah. I think he already said earlier that he was planning on
playing. Coming off a bye too, right?
Yeah. And so for me, I think Deonta Foreman would be the guy that I want to play. It's a little bit more game script dependent with him. But if you look at it, so since week 7, he is third in rushing yards among all running backs, third in attempts, 7th in touchdowns. He's 8th in yards after contact per attempt and 7th in missed tackles forced since week 7. Seattle is 24th in rush DVOA. They allow the 7th most rushing yards, the 6th most touchdowns, and the 3rd most DK points to running backs. So I really like Deonta Foreman at his price. He's only $5,400. That is incredibly too cheap for him. We've seen him have some pretty big games so far since taking over for Christian McCaffrey. He had 19.5 against Tampa Bay. Then he had 34.8 against Atlanta. And 22 again against Atlanta. Then 14.3 against Denver just a couple weeks ago before they went on bye. So I think Deonta Foreman is also in play. If you're wanting to pay down at running back, I think that is another spot you can look at because that is too cheap for somebody, I think, that has 20 to 25 carries in him.
I mean, that game could turn into that first Carolina-Atlanta game where it was 37-34.
Definitely in the range possibility for sure, I think.
And, I mean, Foreman had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in a shootout. So I just think if Carolina's forcing a shootout, it's because their running backs are having a big day.
Yeah.
It's not going to be because of Sam Darnold.
More than likely not. But I think for me – but I will say, I mean, Joe Mixon, Tony Pollard – they're chalk. They're going to be chalky. But as we've seen this year, it's okay to eat some chalk. All right. Yeah. Like they're in good matchups. Like I'm not going to shy away from Tony Pollard or not play Joe Mixon just because of their perceived chalkiness. Like I think Joe Mixon's probably going to hit 20%+ ownership. I think you see Pollard come in somewhere probably that, 15-20% range. DeAndre Swift is probably going to be chalky as well because of his price tag and what he did last week. I think all of those guys are going to be pretty chalky. Do you have any interest in Zeke as well at 6,100?
No, I don't think his ceiling's there. Like if you look at his game logs, cause I was looking at him. So we always talk about, trying to go for guys that are scoring points before getting touchdowns. Zeke has 8 touchdowns this year. And I mean, if you look at his game logs in the games that he scored touchdowns, I mean, 18 with a touchdown, 16 with a touchdown, 17 with 2 touchdowns, 17 with 2 touchdowns, 15 with 1 touchdown, 7 without 1, 10 without 1. It's like he's going to score like 8 to 10 points without any touchdowns. And if he doesn't find the end zone, which, I mean, you could argue he could easily score against Houston, but, I mean, it could also be Pollard 2 or 3 times from range instead of at the goal line. But if Zeke doesn't find the end zone, he kills your lineup. You're literally looking at 8 points because he is not involved in the pass game. He's only going to run the ball 15-ish times. I'm out on Zeke. He's been running too hot with the touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. I just thought I'd bring him up.
I wish they would price him at like 5K so then it would be tempting. Because, I mean, his ceiling is like – his ceiling is literally less than 20. But at 5K against Houston, I'd probably click his name.
Yeah, or would you consider playing them both?
If they were cheaper, yeah. Because they, I mean, literally all of Dallas's production could come from the ground this game. I mean, how's Houston going to score points? They're not. So it's like Dallas is going to have the ball. They just scored 54 points last week in a similar style game against Indy. And it's like,
and Indy has a much better defense.
Indy has a much better defense. And it's like, if Dallas is just going to have the ball as many times as they had it against Indy, and they're just going to score every time, like, why can't their running backs, like, why can't Pollard score twice and have 100 yards? Why can't Zeke, you know, score twice himself? I'm not playing Zeke, but it's definitely, you know, his 70 yards and two touchdowns is his ceiling. And that's, you know, that's 19 points. I'm not playing him for 19 points when it's his ceiling, but I mean, it is in the realm of outcomes for him to do that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think that's all the running backs really want to hit on. So for me, I guess I'll just say, you know, my top, the top three guys, I'm not going to mention them. Obviously we've already talked about them. Joe Mixon, Pollard, and
Swift.
And Swift. Those are the three guys, but those are chalk, right? I think some under the radar guys, my favorite three under the radar kind of guys, a little bit lower owned, is going to be Miles Sanders, is going to be Isaiah Pacheco, and it's going to be Deonta Foreman. I think those are the three guys that I'm looking at that are kind of be coming under owned, I think, for me.
Yeah, I like the Deonta Foreman call. I'm good with the Pacheco call. Also good with the Miles Sanders call. And then, like I said, I would only play Dalvin in a game stack is how I would do it. And only if you're playing, I wouldn't play him with Cousins. I would only play him with Goff. If he's going to be projected low owned, that's the only way I would play Dalvin. But I have zero interest in playing Dalvin by himself or even in a mini. Like I only want Dalvin in full game stacks.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Maybe he could get there too. Help out his ceiling with his ability, you know, his pass catching, maybe some pass catching work.
Yeah.
So.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's go ahead and jump over to wide receivers. So we can keep this thing moving. We're at let's go to up top. We have Justin Jefferson, 9K, feels too cheap, but Stephon Diggs is 8,300. AJ Brown's 8K. Jamar Chase 7,900. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Sun God, is 7,800. CD Lamb is 75. DK Metcalf is 71. T Higgins is 7K. And then our 6K range, you have Chris Godwin, Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, Mike Evans, Devonta Smith, Amari Cooper, Debo Samuel, and Garrett Wilson's 5,900. So where are we, so let's start us off here. Where are we going at wide receiver?
Is it crazy to think I'm more confident in Amon-Ra hitting value than I am Justin Jefferson? I know he's 1,200 cheaper, but like I just feel like Amon-Ra's role and just their ability to get him the ball is just so much better and the matchup is better than what they do in Minnesota with Jefferson. And I know, you know, a lot of teams come in and take away Jefferson, and the Lions did it the first time they played. He only scored four DK points in four DK points in the first time that they played. But he also has another game of six DK points. It's like Jefferson has the ability to score 45 to 50, but he also has the ability to completely nuke your entire roster if he doesn't do anything. So he's way more volatile than people give him credit for, and especially having a 9K price tag. So I'm not decided whether I'm going to end up on Jefferson or not. The way that the Detroit was able to shut him down the first time makes me hesitant to click his name. But yeah, I think the highest priced wide receiver that I want is Ja'Marr Chase in that Cleveland Cincy game at 7,900. He was three yards away from the 100-yard bonus last week. He obviously has 2 to 3 touchdown upside anytime he steps on the field. So really like him. Now, obviously, Amon-Ra, I already mentioned him. DK and Lockett, definitely like them as well. Even if you're not playing Geno, you can play one of them because of how concentrated that offense is. Garrett Wilson's going to be popular. I don't know whether I'm going to get to him. Like I said, I think Buffalo's defense is getting healthier. And they looked really good last week against New England. So Garrett Wilson's probably going to be one of the highest owned players on the slate. And I could see, you know, Buffalo looking to contain him and forcing the Jets to beat them elsewhere. And the other cheap pieces, like I said, there's Minnesota and Detroit has cheap pieces. Adam Thielen's only 4,900. DJ Chark is down there at 4,300. He's interesting. Yeah, it's a weird week for wide receiver because there how many low total games there are across the league. It's like I don't really have any spots outside of the games that we already talked about at QB that I want to just attack one-offs because it's a lot of low scoring games, and usually the low scoring games tend to push the needle towards running backs more than anything.
Yeah. I do think, okay. So one, I do agree with you with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has been much safer of an option. Obviously, you know, since the injury, he started to really come on. He has scored 30.9, 37.6 over the last two games. And he just gets absolutely peppered with targets. He sees end zone targets as well. You know, he's been able to score some touchdowns. But I do agree. I mean, I'm an Amon-Ra St. Brown at $7,800 is going to be hard to get away from. I mean, I still think for what his upside or what his ceiling brings, he can definitely break that price pretty easily. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about those guys. I do also agree on Ja'Marr Chase. But I think some of the other wide receivers that I do like, I really like Chris Godwin at $6,700. I know they're playing San Francisco, but their defense, their secondary is not something I'm as worried about. And he's just seeing so many targets at $6,700, 11, 10, 8, 13, and 13. He really kind of looks like he's back, and he can hit a ceiling game. You know, he saw it a couple weeks ago where he had 12 catches for 110 yards and a score. That is something that he can easily do. Last week, he had 8 catches for 63 yards, didn't find the end zone. But at $6,700, I do like Chris Godwin. And you know what? Honestly, if they would just take a shot, like I don't mind Mike Evans. Because one of the problems with this matchup, I will say, with Charvarius Ward is Charvarius Ward is terrible against deep balls. Like he gets burnt. Like former Chief, I remember watching him every week, and this dude just gets absolutely roasted deep all the time. It is thin because he's not seeing red zone targets. The team doesn't have any time to throw the ball. That's why we're not seeing deep targets. But at $6,400, he is a player that can break that can kind of be a slate breaker at his price. He's got to carry no ownership, but it is a very risky play. And then from there, I do like DJ Moore a lot at $5,500. Sam Darnold loves DJ Moore. You know, in his first game with him this year, we saw him go out and have one of his better games of the season, 4 catches, 103 yards and a score in that game for 23.3. So DJ Moore is $5,500. I think he is squarely in play. I think Jerry Jeudy is definitely in play, especially with Cortland Sutton likely to miss this week. Last week against the Ravens, he had 4 for 65, excuse me. But now there's nobody else here to throw the ball to. I mean, you have Kendall Hinton and guys like that, but Jerry Jeudy, they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to throw the ball. The Chiefs can, you know, get up quickly in this game as well, really forcing him to open up this offense more. And the Chiefs can be had. The Chiefs have allowed the fifth most DK points to wide receivers this year. And so I do think Jerry Jeudy at a pretty low price at $5,400 is going to be hard to get away from. And then from there, you know, you mentioned Adam Thielen. That is too cheap for him in a matchup like this. The Lions and the Lions and the Vikings are both terrible against opposing wide receivers. The Vikings allow the second most DK points. The Lions allow the fourth most DK points. So really, you know, if you're wanting to get different and stay away from the Justin Jeffersons or the Amon-Ra St. Browns, I think it's 100% Adam Thielen. And then I also think that, you know, maybe just getting a little bit crazy, you know, if you're playing in a larger field stuff, maybe taking a shot on a Jameson Williams. Yes, he only played 10% of snaps last week. Yes, he only saw one target. But he is such an explosive player that if he house calls one for 70 yards and a score, he's going to be able to get there at $4,400. Yes, extremely thin. I agree, especially with DJ Chark on the slate. That's actually cheaper than he is at $4,300, who had five catches, 98. But if you're just kind of wanting to get a little bit different in that game, I think that is a spot you can look to do so. And then I think Isaiah McKenzie is the other guy that I wanted to hit on. He's starting to get more and more involved in this offense, 15 targets over his last two games. And he is somebody that could provide a little bit of ceiling, especially with Sauce Gardner likely probably doing some shadowing against Stephon Diggs. I think, you know, maybe they look to get the ball at some other places. And $4,200, Isaiah McKenzie, I think you could look to go there as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't mention any of the Jags receivers, but the Jags receivers are definitely in play against Tennessee, who's been the biggest pass funnel defense this year. So Kirk at 6,600 has a couple hundred yard games under his belt, including last week. And then Zay Jones keeps getting, you know, 7 to 10 targets, it seems, over the last few weeks. So he's under 5K once again. So he's firmly in play as well. He should play. He played with the same chest injury last week. So, yeah, the Jags, I mean, if Lawrence plays, I don't know. The Jags are – that game is very, very interesting to me. The Jags are going to have to throw to have success. That game is going to either be like a 10 to 6 game, or the Jags are going to push the Titans into throwing by having success through the air. And that game could turn into be a shootout, because we've seen Tannehill. When Tannehill gets pushed, he absolutely can put up points on the other side. I like that game a lot more if Treylon Burks plays, but I like the Jags receivers a lot too.
I'm going to say he's not playing. He has not practiced at all this week.
Yeah, and it seems like we saw it last week with Mixon. It seems like concussion protocol this year has been a lot stricter on a coming back basis.
Happened with the Tua stuff,
I feel like there's been multiple guys that have missed a game after being concussed the previous week.
Yeah, I mean, I think because after the Tua stuff, they went in, the player association, the owners got together, and they changed the protocol. So I think they made it much more difficult to come back from. So they're not just going to let these guys come right back. And Treylon Burks got knocked the fuck out whenever he got hit. I mean, he got rocked, much like Juju Smith-Schuster did a few weeks ago. So I do not expect him to play. Like,
I don't either.
So if you didn't and you like that game, would you look at a guy like Robert Woods, who's $4,500? I mean, I know he hasn't really come through at all this year. I mean, his best game was, what, week 4, where he had 4 catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown? Like, do you have any interest in him if you know at all or no?
Honestly, how I would play that game is I would play mainly the Jag side. So I would play either Bethard or Lawrence, whichever starts, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. That's probably how I'd run the Jags. And then on the other side, I would just play Okonkwo at tight end. Because like I said, if the Titans are going to have big plays to turn that game into like a big shootout, Okonkwo is likely a part of that because of how explosive he is. And we've seen his big playability already. He's got 5 targets in back-to-back games. And now if Treylon Burks were to miss, and now this is a pass funnel defense they're facing. That's probably how I would attack it. I don't know that I would go Tannehill. Even if playing Tannehill, I would only play one pass catcher with him, and I'd probably just pair the tight end. But if you made me choose between Woods and Westbrook-Ikhine, I'd probably say Westbrook-Ikhine, just because I think he has a bigger playability. Robert Woods is just, I think he's just dust.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. Is there any 3K wide receivers? I mean, we have guys like, you know, Chris Moore, especially if both the Texans starting wide receivers are going to be out. He probably steps right into a pretty big role in an offense where they're going to be playing from behind. He's $3,400. We talked about Cortland Sutton being out, so Kendall Hinton, I think, becomes a little bit more. I mean, he did only see one target last week, but you know that was a completely different game script. It was a 9-10 game there against Baltimore last week, but this is going to be a completely different script. So he's $3,400. Like, are any of these guys down here, or are you just going to stay away from that and not go down this far? Or Elijah Moore is the other guy that I really want to know, because I do think he is kind of interesting. He saw 7 or 6 targets last week, and I think he plays a lot in the slot. And so I think if you're wanting to attack the Bills, I think going into the slot is probably where you're going to want to do so. And so Elijah Moore at $3,500, I think, is kind of a good play as well.
Yeah, he's fine. The only other name down there that I could maybe consider clicking on would be DeSean Jackson against Pittsburgh. But we know Huntley prefers to target Mark Andrews as opposed to the wide receivers. But, I mean, DeSean, you know, we've seen him. He's caught deep passes already this year. It only takes one for him, and he's $3,400. So that's and if you were playing Huntley, I mean, you'd probably just pair him with Andrews and not play both of them. But
yeah, I think I agree. Okay, I think that's kind of the wide receivers that I would, you know, that I really wanted to, you know, highlight. Obviously, you know, I already talked about, you know, the Eagles guys. If you're going with Zach with Hurts, I think those are the wide receivers that I really wanted to hit on the most. Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
I will say DeMarcus Robinson, that same team, the Ravens. I know I just talked about DeSean Jackson, but Robinson has 8, 4, 9, 4, 8 targets over his last 5. He's only 4K, and we mentioned that Pittsburgh is a better defense to throw on than they are to run on. So, I mean, that Ravens Steelers game is another one, right? Like if the Steelers are able to have success on offense, and the Ravens with Huntley are able to have success against that Steelers defense, I mean, that's, I don't know, that's an interesting game. It's another one that's just a lot of unknowns there, because the Steelers have just not wanted to put their foot down on the gas this year. But, I mean, they have the weapons, like Pickens, if they start just targeting Pickens more. But you're just asking them to do something they haven't done. So I think the game's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you have George Pickens that kind of complained after last week's game that he's not seeing enough targets. You know, he was only targeted 2 times last week, which is frustrating because I had a decent amount of George Pickens playing Atlanta. But so maybe you get a little greasy wheel narrative here with George Pickens, who's 5K. I think if I was going to play a Steelers wide receiver, it would be George Pickens.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. So other than that, I think those are the guys that I really wanted to hit on. Michael Gallup is actually coming in looking like pretty chalky, at least from where I'm seeing.
I'm out on that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think he actually looked pretty good last week coming back, but kind of like we talked about, like, game script, I just don't think is going to be there. Like, we have to remember, like, that Colts game, that Colts, the Colts-Cowboys game was actually pretty close for a lot of that game. It wasn't until the fourth quarter.
They scored 33 points. Yeah.
And so that's when they exploded, you know, kind of exploded the game up. And like, I don't perceive this game being that way. So I don't like, I like Michael Gallup a lot. And I think moving forward, he could be a nice play, but I'm not doing it this week. I don't think you need to.
No, I just don't see a way the Texans keep it close at all.
I agree. I don't see a way they do either. So. I did just want to talk about that because I didn't notice he was pretty popular. So maybe people might
have. Yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah. Okay. So then I think we can just go ahead and jump over to tight end. You go with that?
Yep.
All right. So tight end, we have Travis Kelce, surprise, surprise, 7,600. Mark Andrews, 6,500. TJ Hockenson, 51. Patty Fries, 44. Dalton Schultz is 4,400. I don't know what he has to do to get priced up, but whatever. George Kittle, $4,300. David Njoku is $3,900. Dawson Knox, Dulcich is $3,400. Tight end, what are we doing?
Well, as somebody who played George Kittle last week in King of the Beach and watched every Brock Purdy pass in that game not go to George Kittle, I will not be playing George Kittle no matter how cheap he is. Purdy, I will say Purdy, he loved to target McCaffrey. He was like his security blanket. So I think that's a lot of the reason why he didn't look at Kittle. But he was forcing things into Ayuk and then dumping it off to McCaffrey. And he was not looking at Kittle at all. So I'm out on Kittle. But
it's funny too, though, because the Bucs are, they allow the fourth most DK points to tight ends this year. So
yeah, well, Miami's like second most and
third. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did nothing again that matchup last week. But yeah, it's hard not to like Mark Andrews. I know he's 6,500, but he got a massive boost when Tyler Huntley played last year. I mean, he was smashing like 20, 25 to 35 DK points every week with Huntley. So he would definitely be my pay up. Just because I think that game can go back and forth more so than the Denver-Kansas City game can. So I really like Andrews there. And then if not paying up for him, Hockenson at 5,100 is definitely interesting if stacking up Minnesota-Detroit. I probably wouldn't play him as a one-off. I think the only way he gets you where you need to be is if he's scoring touchdowns, and that's, you know, opening up that game to a shootout. So I would only play him if stacking up that game, but I do like Hockenson. And then I already mentioned him a few times, but $2,700 Okonkwo, who's probably the most athletic tight end we have on this slate. And this is the cheapest tight end we have on this slate in a pass funnel matchup against the Jags, and the Titans are going to likely be missing Treylon Burks. So I think Okonkwo could have a long touchdown in this game, like 40 plus yards.
It's certainly possible. He's had quite a few deep balls. I mean, he had what, one catch for 48 against the Chiefs. He had one for 41 against the Broncos. One for 31 against the Packers. So it's definitely in his range of outcomes for sure. And if he could just find the end zone, that would really pay him off at $2,700. But
41 against the Eagles last week too. It's like, yeah, he gets a 30 to 40 yard play every single week. It's crazy.
Yeah. And a lot of it, it's yards after the catch. It's not even just, you know, deep balls.
And now he's finally getting targets. He got five targets in back-to-back games. You could definitely do worse for $2,700.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, tight end so goddamn volatile anyway.
Yep.
So I think the one that stands out the most that's probably going to be the most chalky is going to be Greg Dulcich, because of they're missing Cortland Sutton, and he's coming off a game where he saw eight targets, six catches, 85 yards last week against the Ravens. The Chiefs do at times struggle against opposing tight ends, so it's not really a terrible matchup either against the Chiefs. Again, game script is probably going to say that they're going to have to throw the ball quite a bit. But Greg Dulcich, he's $3,400, but he's going to be pretty chalky, so it's going to, you know, come with it with him. I do kind of like David Njoku's $3,900. I don't think anybody's really going to play him. He's gotten in back-to-back practices since missing last week, but I think it's definitely in the range of possibilities. I mean, he's a guy that's been targeted a ton this year. He just, you know, has dealt with a few injuries here and there, but he's $3,900 if you're wanting to pay down at tight end. And then I think Patty Fry as well at $4,500. He just continues to see a lot of targets as well each and every week. I think so. If you're wanting to pay down from the top two of Travis Kelce and Andrews, who are both in play, I think that would be where I'd go. And then Hockenson surely is in play as well in that game. But paying down, it's going to be either go with Greg Dulcich, decide to eat that chalk, go with a guy like Patty Fry or David Njoku are kind of the guys that I'm kind of taking a look at here at the tight end position for me this week.
Sounds good to me.
And then I guess you can mention too, if for whatever reason, I don't think he's going to be practicing full, but if Cameron Brate were to miss, maybe you could look at Kate Otten, but he got back at full practice today. So
Brate just needs to not be a thing anymore.
He shouldn't. I don't know why they don't just commit to Kate Otten as the full-time tight end. So he saw 10 targets last week, six catches for 28 yards and a score. So yeah, I think that's kind of the tight end position. Like, I think it's kind of pretty narrow this week. I don't think there's a lot of different options that I would be looking to go to. I don't know. Maybe Jordan Akins. I mean, he does see quite a bit of targets, but I don't know.
I just think when you have Kelce and Andrews on a slate and Hockenson, who could score twice in that matchup, I just think going off really off the board at tight end just doesn't make sense. Like, even like if you're playing a guy like Okonkwo, who can, you know, house a 40 yard reception, like at least he gives you a little bit of upside for his cheap price. But these other guys are just like, if they're scoring a touchdown, they're maybe getting you 10 points if you're lucky. Whereas Andrews and those other guys can score twice and get you to 30. And you're just so far behind if you don't have those guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and jump over to defense. What cheap defense are we playing this week?
I like the Steelers at 2,800 at home against Huntley. And I know we kind of like that game from an offensive perspective, but I mean, Huntley can make mistakes too. So they would probably be the cheapest that I would go.
Not going back to the Jets well?
You can. I just think if I have the extra $300, I will.
Because you remember week 9, when they scored 10 and they were min price.
Yeah, they were min price. Yep. I mean, you definitely can. The challenge with this one is this one's on the road. Last one was at home. So in Buffalo is a lot more daunting of a task. I guess Carolina's interesting, especially if Kenneth Walker sits. Because like I said, I mean, I would expect Geno Smith to throw the ball more. But and you know, while we like Geno Smith, I mean, this Carolina defense has played pretty solid over the last few weeks. They've only allowed 10, 13, and 15 points. Now, granted, they played Denver, Baltimore, and Atlanta, who aren't the best offenses in the world, but I mean, the Carolina defense hasn't been awful this year, and they're near min price. So that would, if I was absolutely punting, I'd probably play Carolina. But if I have a pick, it's the Steelers at 2,800 at home against Baltimore without Lamar.
What about the Bucks, who's just $100 more at $2,900 going up against Brock Purdy?
They're interesting, but you start creeping up in the 3K range, and I just want to click on the Cowboys. 3,800.
Your boy Turpin. In one day, man, he's going to take long.
I'm telling you. And when you play these games where the opposing team just punts a lot, I mean, it's just more chances for him to house one. So he hasn't been as close the last few weeks as he was early in the season, but I think at some point, you know, he's going to house one. And I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones did it against Houston last week. So, like, I could see the headlines now. Houston gives up punt return for second straight week for TD. If you're into those sort of things.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't think I really have, like, a huge stand right now on any other defense that, I, like, really truly stand out to me that I definitely feel like I have to get to. Yeah.
It's weird, right? Like, there's not really, I mean, there's some okay offensive spots, but then when we get to defense, we're like, we don't really want to play defenses either.
Yeah, the slate is just kind of different, right?
It's weird. It's just a weird slate.
And I mean, I'm obviously, I guess we're done with this week, but you know, maybe at least next week, we're going to get some Saturday games next week.
Oh, next week's slate is actually fun. I looked at it briefly.
Because you're gonna get the three Saturday games, which is good. I mean, not that they're excellent. No, well, actually, it's not terrible. Actually, it's not bad at all. You get the Colts and Vikings, you get the Ravens and Browns, and then you get the Dolphins and Bills for the nightcap. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
After getting Dolphins Chargers for showdown on Sunday.
Yeah. So we get a nice little three gamer on Saturday, and then Sunday. I mean, we get the Chiefs Texans. I mean, the Chiefs are gonna score 98 points against them. I guess that Texans team, but then you're going to get the Jags and the Cowboys. That has a lot of fun. Could be a pretty good game.
Yep. Eagles, Bears, Falcons, Saints, Lions, Jets, Steelers, Panthers, Cowboys, Jags, Chiefs, Texans, Cardinals, Broncos, Pats, Raiders, Titans, Chargers. Titans, Chargers is interesting. I mean, you got Derrick Henry on one side, and then the Titans are just the absolute biggest pass funnel on the other side for the Chargers. So that game could be nuts.
Yeah, and they actually have all their weapons back. Mike Williams is back practicing in full. So
I mean, that is literally perfect script on both sides. I mean, Derrick Henry could run for 200 yards, and it is December. So, and yeah, Bengals Bucks is the last one. So yeah, I think next week's a fun slate.
Yeah.
But we still need to build for this week.
Yeah. That's how excited we are for this week. We're lamenting over week 15 already. Because I think it's probably a first. Anyways, okay. Let's go ahead and build this lineup, and we'll get out of here. So just go ahead and start us off.
You know what? Let's get a little weird this week. Let's play Geno Smith.
I like it. Let's go DK Metcalf at 7,100.
We can run it back with Dante Foreman.
All right. So that we got Geno, Foreman, and DK 5,200. You know what? Fuck them. We're just going to go all out. Let's lock in. Should we lock in Lockett and just go full on?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go all in. We're just going to go Lockett as well.
I definitely want. I think I want Pollard over Mixon. So let's go Pollard. Because let's say Houston somehow keeps it close. I mean, then the Dallas pieces become nuts. Especially Pollard.
All right. Well, I'm going to lock in DeAndre Swift in the flex then. Or actually, this is what I'll do, because I don't like keeping him there. Because that game is at noon. So I will drop Foreman down. And I'll put Swift at running back. And I'll drop Foreman down.
All right. Let's play.
So we got a wide receiver tight end defense with $4,100 remaining.
You want Thielen or Hockenson as a run back for Swift?
Go Thielen.
All right. Let's go Thielen then.
So we're at defense. Let's just go with, you know what? I don't hate it. Let's just go Steelers at $2,800. He's $4,600 for a tight end.
I'd probably say Schultz of those. You could also do Cowboys D and Dulcich. Let's see if we choose Hockenson. What's that wide receiver?
Instead of Thielen?
Yeah, it would leave $4,400 at receiver. So that is.
You go DJ Chark if we want. That he's $4,300. Isaiah McKenzie, somebody I mentioned, he's $4,200.
Yeah, let's do that instead of punting the tight end. Let's play the cheaper receiver and play Hockenson as the Minnesota run back for Swift. And you can even, yeah, like you said, you can play Chark and even have a three-man mini stack there with Chark, Hockenson, and Swift or McKenzie. I'd probably side with playing Chark for the correlation, but I'm good with either.
All right. Well, now let's go with Chark. So, all right. So this team will have $100 remaining. We have Geno, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, DJ Chark, Hockenson, Foreman, and Steelers D.
And how much is left on that?
$100.
Because you could also just thinking, if you wanted to, you could move Swift up or Foreman's in the flex, right? Because you could just play DJ Moore over Foreman if you like DJ Moore more than Foreman as well.
Yeah, no.
As
yeah,
a run back. Sure. So there's definitely options there with that build.
I like it. Let's lock that in. Lock that in. I got a couple little questions over here. Josh Goff going to be off to up? Yeah, very likely.
Very well could be.
Yep. That game is going to it's either going to make people a lot of money or it's going to break a lot of hearts. One way or the other. The Lions has turned into what it feels like. Remember back in the day with the Saints, right? The Superdome. Like, that was Coors Field of NFL. Like, this is what's turned into for the Lions as for this game. Anytime a game's at home in Detroit, these games just go off. So, last week, it's just the Jaguars just could not do anything to, get the ball going. But the Lions certainly did their part. So,
yeah, I think Minnesota will have a better time.
Yeah. Jeff Johnson, do you guys think 4 or 6 teams is the playoffs of 10 men? 10 men, I think it's 4. I think it's the better way to go. Makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I'd go 4 and go with 2 week matches.
Yeah, I like that too. There's nothing worse when you get in the playoffs and like you can have the best team in the league and you get kicked out over just some random week.
Yeah, like Josh Jacobs has 300 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah. Walido, thoughts on this lineup? Goff, Swift, CMC, Godwin, Amon Ross St. Brown, Thielen, Hockenson, Chris Moore, and Panthers D.
Okay, so that's Goff, Swift, Amon Ra with Thielen, Hockenson, run back. Godwin, CMC is a mini. I like that. With Chris Moore and Panthers D. I'm good with it. I don't have any issues with that at all.
No, not at all.
I personally would probably come off of CMC and would up Chris Moore with this extra salary But I do think the CMC Godwin mini stack is one that will be low owned and is definitely a solid way to go with Purdy at QB. Well, he is getting good at building these teams that are very correlated.
How would you feel about, because like I'm almost kind of like tempted to say like what dropping down from CMC to like Mixon, and then you probably then could upgrade Godwin if you wanted to, or I don't know, then I guess that doesn't really work. It's not really, is it, who you gonna play on the Brown side? I mean, I guess you can go Amari.
Are you thinking Mixon and Amari? And then upgrade more as well.
Or if you really wanted to, you could downgrade. You could go Mixon, or you could go Pollard if you wanted to with Chris Moore. You still have a little mini stack there between that game, and then you'd have quite a bit of money left over to, if you wanted to upgrade Godwin to somebody else. You really could get up there with a lot of the other elite wide receivers.
Yeah, because if Chris Moore is hitting, then that means like if he's optimal to be on a tournament winning team, I would definitely want a Dallas piece on the other side. So Pollard would make sense. And then you could upgrade Godwin to, I don't know how much salary you have, but I mean, it should get you to like the Jamar Chase tier at least. Might get you to Jefferson, but I don't think so. That's a lot. It's a big gap to close.
Just got to figure it out because we did the same thing last week. It's better for me to see it. So Swift.
And then Mixon.
Well, if we did Pollard, let's just see what that would look like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pollard. And Amon-Ra and Thielen. And leave the other wide receiver blank. Or just go ahead and put Chris Moore in. That's fine. Hockenson at tight end. Panthers D.
8,500 is what you'd have remaining.
Yeah, so you can play anybody but Jefferson. I'd be good with CMC. I'd be good with Chase. Hell, even
I mean, really, if you really wanted to, you could really just keep CMC at that point, I guess. Yeah, and play him down on the flex, and then you'd have Swift, Pollard, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Thielen, Chris Moore, Hockenson, and Panthers. I like that more.
So you like the Pollard? Essentially, you just like Pollard over Godwin in that build, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, yes,
because that's the only swap we made. Because if you still keep CMC at 8,500 and you still keep Moore, you'd be pairing Pollard with Moore as opposed to Godwin with CMC.
Yeah, or like if you want to, like I said, you could drop down further than that, and then you could upgrade Chris Moore to somebody else. So I think there's a lot of flexibility with that. But yeah,
I kind of either way, like it's a well built.
So yeah, I think that's where we come in on that. So anyways, I appreciate everybody rocking with us in the chat. All the support as usual. Walito rocking with us in the chat. Walito also jumped on last night with us on our live stream on Wednesday.
Nice.
That was good. Well, you know, you're going to have to be available one night, and we'll get you on for one of these shows, for one of our DFS shows. We haven't had.
Yeah, we had him on for one last year. We need to run it back.
Yeah. So we'll get you on, Walito. Let us know if you're maybe next week. Are you available next week? I think it should be us. I don't know if we're really going to, well, I guess we'll talk about it. I don't know if we're really going to get too far into the 3-game slate or not, if we're wanting to do that or not, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. But next week's slate does look pretty tasty. I will say that. I do like that.
Better than this one. That's for sure.
Yeah. This one, it's going to be interesting.
Well, it's not awful. It's just weird.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that. So anyways, I hope everybody has a good weekend. Hope everybody wins some money this weekend. You know, get a little bit different out here in these streets, but keep it locked in here. We'll be back again on next Thursday night. If you want to come check us out on YouTube, jump into the chat, chat with everybody. If not, we will see you guys very soon next week for week 15. This season is flying by, and really some of my favorite times of the year coming up, because we're going to get a lot of these Saturday slates coming starting next week, and then the playoffs is always fantastic for the first two or 3 weeks of NFL DFS playoff stuff. So, and then we'll get NASCAR after that. So,
God, back to baseball and golf.
Yeah. So anyways, hope everybody has a good weekend. Let's win some money this weekend. Have a good weekend. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. When you're
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.